Track 1. Welcome to the Home Study Course, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Schizophrenia Volume 1, Coping with Relapses and Reducing Symptoms. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with schizophrenia. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable, thus we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded them. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint, after you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as treating negative symptoms, the stigma of schizophrenia, avoiding relapses through relapse prevention plans, coping with psychosis, sex, substance abuse and anger in schizophrenia, cognitive difficulties, the experience of enjoyment, and independent living and self-care. So let's get started. To make sure we are all on the same page, so to speak, the rest of this track we will examine the diagnosis of schizophrenia. As you know, schizophrenia can be the result of numerous abnormalities in brain structure and function. However, as you are also aware, there is no single area that can be measured and from which we can say, yes, this is schizophrenia. But clearly, definition of schizophrenia through symptoms can also be misleading because different diseases can present similar problems. Therefore, we will examine three topics regarding this diagnosis. The three topics are Schneider's guidelines for suspicion of schizophrenia, symptoms of schizophrenia, and subtypes of schizophrenia. You are obviously already aware of this information, but we thought its inclusion into this home study course could benefit you if you have not treated a schizophrenic client in some time. Therefore, as you listen to this track, you might consider the information a reminder. In addition to DSM criteria for diagnosing schizophrenia, you may also find Schneider's guidelines for suspicion of schizophrenia useful as guideline for the elevation of suspicion regarding suspected schizophrenia. Schneider's list contains 11 guidelines for suspicion of schizophrenia. As I list the 11 symptoms, you might consider your schizophrenic client and evaluate him or her for one or more of the following symptoms. 1. Auditory hallucinations in which the voices speak one's thoughts aloud. 2. Auditory hallucinations with two voices arguing. 3. Auditory hallucinations with the voices commenting on one's actions. 4. Hallucinations of touch when the body sensation is imposed by some external agency. 5. Withdrawal of thoughts from one's mind. 6. Insertion of thoughts into one's mind by others. 7. Believing one's thoughts are being broadcast to others, as in radio or television. 8. Insertion by others of feelings into one's mind. 9. Insertion by others of irresistible impulses into one's mind. 10. Feeling that all one's actions are under the control of others, like an automation. 11. Delusions of perception, as when one is certain that a normal remark has a secret meaning for oneself. As you can see, some of Schneider's guidelines for suspicion of schizophrenia correlate to DSM criteria. However, studies show that while 75% of schizophrenic clients present Schneider's symptoms, so do about 25% of manic depressive clients. Therefore, Schneider's list is an informal guide to suspicion, rather than a guideline for diagnosis like the DSM. Even so, you might consider your diagnostic interview process. Would you find Schneider's guidelines for suspicion of schizophrenia a helpful adjunct to the DSM? As you know, there are two types of symptoms of schizophrenia. Negative symptoms, or the absence of normal behavior, may include apathy, reductions in speech, incongruous emotional responses, social withdrawal, or reduced social performance. These negative symptoms will be discussed in more detail on the next track. The second type of symptoms of schizophrenia are positive symptoms. Positive symptoms of schizophrenia include delusions, hallucinations, and thought disorder or the presence of a behavior. Tyler, now age 28, experienced delusions as strange beliefs that he held in spite of clear evidence to the contrary. Tyler was intelligent and well-adapted as a child. However, Tyler became increasingly moody and withdrawn as a teenager. Tyler later did poorly in college. He began to spend more time in his room, sleeping during the day and watching TV late into the night. Tyler later stated that during this time, he believed his parents were reading his thoughts and controlling his behavior. Tyler's delusion was so strong that he thought his mother was controlling his eating. Tyler stated, "Whenever I had a meal, I really thought that she was actually eating the food for me. I could tell when it was happening by the way she looked." Tyler's delusions increased until he came to believe his parents were plotting against him. Tyler left home to avoid this, but later sought therapy and began to learn to analyze his delusions and contrast them with reality. In addition to Schneider's guidelines for suspicions of schizophrenia and symptoms of schizophrenia, the third topic we will briefly discuss regarding the diagnosis of schizophrenia is subtypes of schizophrenia. Generally, the symptoms of schizophrenia dictate the correlating subtype. There are four main subtypes of schizophrenia. These four main subtypes are paranoid schizophrenia, disorganized schizophrenia, catatonic schizophrenia, and undifferentiated schizophrenia. Clearly, delusions and hallucinations typify paranoid schizophrenia, while disorganized speech or behavior and incongruous emotional responses relate to disorganized schizophrenia. Catatonic schizophrenia is obviously characterized by motor immobility, but can also reflect excessive motor activity, extreme negativism, or mutism, or repetition of words or actions of others. If a client doesn't specifically fit into one of these three subtypes, then he or she is diagnosed with undifferentiated schizophrenia. Think of your client. Which subtype is he or she? How was he or she diagnosed? On this track, we have discussed three topics regarding diagnosis. The three topics we discussed are Schneider's guidelines for suspicion of schizophrenia, symptoms of schizophrenia, and subtypes of schizophrenia. On the next track, we will discuss negative symptoms. As stated earlier, there are five common negative symptoms. These five negative symptoms are apathy, reductions in speech, incongruous emotional responses, social withdrawal, and reduced social performance. Question 1. What resource is useful for the elevation of suspicion regarding suspected schizophrenia in addition to the DSM?